what happened to heaven, and it's about the rapture, because many are, do not believe in the rapture. They believe there's just one coming of the Lord, coming back to the earth to set up a kingdom, and they don't believe that the rapture and the kingdom is the same thing. And there are many truths. It reminds me of a verse in the book of Proverbs: the legs of the lame are not equal. And there's many truths that have no balance to them. You hear much about salvation or believing in the Lord, but you don't hear anything about repentance. For every sermon that's preached about believism, there's very few preached about repentance. You hear people talk about salvation, but what do you hear about sin? The tendency in preaching all through America, especially today, and Canada as well, we must be positive, nothing negative. We hurt people's self-esteem to call them sinners and to talk about going to hell. People want to hear about heaven, they don't want to hear about hell. They want to hear about the love of God, they don't want to hear about the wrath of God. And this imbalance is really bad, because it's a lopsided thing that they're hearing. I was at a funeral a while ago, and somebody said afterwards, he said the preacher, what he preached says was good. And I said, yeah, what he said was all right, but the problem was what he didn't say. And you don't measure preaching by what somebody says. You have to measure as well by what they do not say. To get up and preach about heaven and not preach about hell, or to preach about sin and not preach about salvation, or whatever the case might be, is an imbalance of preaching. So I trust that won't be the case. I want to look at something. I want to read first in the book of John, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. The most destructive force in the world is not nuclear power. It's not all the war machinery that they had today, that people are afraid that man is going to destroy himself with all of the nuclear power and the power of war, and they're afraid of self-destruction. The most powerful destructive force in the world today is a little three-letter word called sin that you don't hear anything about today. The drunkard's not a sinner anymore. He's just addicted to alcohol. The homosexual, he was born that way. He can't help it. That's not wrong. And there's all kinds of words that they're using to get away from the idea of sin. Even death. I don't know about you, but funerals up our way aren't funerals anymore. They're celebrations. You celebrate weddings. I read after that in Acts chapter 6, I think it is, where there was great lamentations over the death of Stephen, who was stoned to death. They weren't celebrating his life. They were lamenting over his death. We live in a crazy world when everything's changing. Nothing's right anymore and nothing's wrong. It must be relevant to whatever the situation might be. But we're going to read a little about sin. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Whosoever committeth sin, commit as a habit, they're a servant, literally a slave of sin. Let's read again in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Verse number 9, Paul, after speaking about the Gentile world in chapter 1 and the religious world of Jews in chapter 2, he makes a little summary in chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we Jews better than they than those Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And that word under means under as a master. They're being governed by sin as a master. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Maybe another verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. All of the problems in the world have one root. The wars, all the wars, all the suffering, all the starvation, death, sickness, crime, what have you, they all have one source, one root. And it's a little three-letter word called sin. Sin is the root cause of all the problems in all the world. We read here in verse 16 especially about mankind in general, that that destruction and misery are in their ways. How true that is. We're seeing more of that every day. You can't look at the news anywhere without seeing that destruction and misery are in the ways of mankind. We're living in a wicked world, a changing world, a world that is on the verge of judgment. A world that's being ruined by man and by a little word or thing called sin. You read much about global warming and how that man is going to destroy himself if we don't do something about it. You know what's going to destroy a nation of people, the world? It's not global destruction of pollution of that night. It's the moral pollution that's in the world. Homosexuality that was in the closet 50 years ago, people were ashamed of that. They're not only out of the closet, but they're praying, they're storming the government, they're demanding rights, they're demanding recognition, and they're demanding their rights, their welfare rights or pensions and so on. That is rising up everywhere, and sin is rampant in the world everywhere. Sin is destroying the human race. It's destroying families, destroying our young people. Immorality is rampant among young people, and sex, drugs, and all that. It all comes from a little root word called sin. It's all sin. So I want to look a little bit about what sin has done in the world in which we live. Not just what it is, look a little bit at that too. In 1 John chapter 3, and I think it's verse 3, it says that sin is a transgression of the law. God has 10 commandments, and it's those 10 commandments that will tell us, they're like a mirror. And when we look in those 10 commandments, we're going to see our sinfulness before God. Paul says that the commandment is holy, it's just, it's right. But the problem is that I am carnal and I am sinful. It's that same commandment that's going to convict us of our sinfulness before God. Galatians chapter 3 calls the law a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It can't save us, but it can tell us that we need a Savior and we need to be saved. I remember going over the Ten Commandments with a man one time who thought he was good enough to go to heaven. And when I got through, he said, I've broken 8 of the Ten Commandments. He thought he was good enough to go to heaven. It's amazing when you talk to people, 99% of the people I've talked to that tell me they're not born-again Christians still figure they're going to get to heaven. They still don't believe they're going to hell. They feel they're going to heaven. That man tells us, psychologists, even Christian psychologists are telling us that people have a low self-esteem. And they need to be, their self-esteem needs to be built up. A person that believes they're good enough to heaven does not have a low self-esteem. They must think a lot of themselves to think they're good enough to get into heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. But somehow I'm going to get in there. God's going to overlook my faults. He's going to take all my good things about me, and he's going to take me in. That doesn't sound like a person that has a low self-esteem. Sounds like they have a high one. Sin is a transgression of the law. But it's not only that. James 4 and verse 17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, that's a sin. You know there's something you should do good and you don't do it, that's a sin. A sin of omission. Romans chapter number 14 and verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. If there's something you don't know, not sure whether you should do or shouldn't do, and you do it, and you don't do it in faith, says that's a sin. In that particular case, it was eating meats. And if you couldn't eat meats with a clear conscience, don't eat meats, because if you can't eat it in faith, that's a sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. In the book of Proverbs, you ever have a foolish thought? That's a sin. I don't think we have any concept what sin really is. And I think if we got a better concept, even as Christians, of what sin really is, we wouldn't be falling into it very often. We learn to hate it. Because if you love righteousness, you're going to hate iniquity. But if you don't know what iniquity and sin is, you're not up to hate it. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, and he said, out of the heart first comes evil thoughts. Do you ever have an evil thought? That's a sin. The very first thing. It goes right along with the next verse. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and the such like. That's what's corrupting humanity. But evil thoughts are there. Evil thoughts are sin. And so in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, Peter said, repent, that perhaps the thoughts of thine heart be forgiven thee. They need to be forgiven. Of all the sins you and I commit as Christians, we don't know very few of them. If I asked you what sins you committed yesterday, you probably wouldn't tell me any that you committed. And yet we commit sins all the time that we know nothing about, we're unaware of, because we don't have any concept of sin. It's a terrible thing. It brought the Son of God from heaven down to the earth to go to the cross of Calvary and suffer and bleed and die like no other. What put him there? Sin. Sin. It was God judging sin at the cross of Calvary. He appeared once in the end of the age, we read in Hebrews 9:26, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The whole purpose of the Lord Jesus coming into the world was to put away sin. Sin. A terrible thing. We are sinners by nature. We're born that way. Not only are we born sinners, in Psalm 51 and verse 5, we're shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. But we go astray as soon as we be born, speaking lies. We're not only sinners by birth, But we're sinners by practice. We go astray as soon as we be born. Then we were hearing a brother read this morning from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. That's a sinner by choice. We've gone astray. We're sinners by practice. In the book of Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 it says, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. And sin is something that the Lord Jesus comes to the world to deal with. So I'm going to look at four things that sin has done. And of course is doing. The first one I read in John chapter 8 and verse 34, sin has made man a slave. Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is a slave, a servant of sin. Romans 3 and verse 9, both Jew and Gentiles are under sin. Under sin is a master. And you can read in Romans 6, 17 times, you'll see the little word sin mentioned there. And it's sin as a master. Sin that's having dominion over us. Sin that's governing the lives of people. Sin has made man a slave. You see, people who are addicted to gambling, to smoking, to drugs, to sex, to greed, to pride, to selfishness, envy, bitterness. They're slaves to sin. They're not free. Sometimes people say to me, says, well, you're a Christian. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do something else. And I tell them, well, I can do those things. I drink coffee. I can drink whiskey, too. I could smoke. I could do all those things, but I don't have to do those things. You can't help from doing them, but I'm free from those things. I've been liberated. The Christian is liberated from those things. It's the sinner that's bound by those sins. Sin has made man a slave. He's not free. I meet people all the time who are slaves to drink, slaves to drugs, slaves to sex, slaves to various sins. I'm just thinking of a little note I copied off my computer. This is a girl that probably 3 or 4 months ago started doing my Bible courses. She lives in Florida. She's a lady, 43 years old. I want you to listen to this, and it'll give you an illustration of how a person is a slave to sin. She says, thank you very much for your lessons. In God's time, it is His will that I be healed physically. I can't wait. What a testimony for Him. I still have a great testimony coming from addiction to almost everything that is evil in the world. I was on crack for a little more than 20 years. Now this lady is 43 years old. Alcohol since I was 12. A dancer, stripper, fully nude, and lap dances. Jail, and then on probation. Other illegal drugs, prostitution, pornography, pictures, shopping contests, teabag bathing suits and wee t-shirts, dressed in skin-tight clothing, the shorter the better. You get the ugly picture, she says. As a lady was a slave to sin. And the world is full of those sort of people. Just reading about Paris Hilton, just recently. Paris Hilton is the heiress of the Hilton Hotels. I think she's 26 years old. She was caught drunk, speeding in the dark with her no lights on. I think she lost her license for 4 months. And she was recently caught driving without a license. And the judge gave her 45 days in jail. She was late coming into court because she got a lot of money and thought she could get away with it. The judge put her in jail. There's a young lady that has all the money she wants, all the popularity she wants, but she's not happy. She's addicted to liquor. She's running away from life. She's trying a way of escape, like this particular girl. She says, here I sit today, delivered from all that through Christ. I am working off of the painkiller. She's had bad accidents. She has a bad back. She's in constant pain. She's still on prescription drugs, but she'd like to get off of them. Doing her studies is encouraging for me, especially when I feel like there is no hope and no way out of the bondage of sin and pain of every kind. She knew what sin was. It's a bondage. It's slavery. And the world is full of people like that. When you talk to people, you get on the inside of them, you get the front taken away, and get on the inside of them, and they're miserable because they're slaves to sin. Sin has made man a slave. He's not free to do what they want to do because they are bound by sin. I remember a young couple that I visited some time ago, and the fellow had an alcohol problem, 29 years old. And I told him, I said, alcohol is not your problem. It's deeper than that. You get at the root. I said, your root problem is guilt. And guilt is a product of sin. You get your sin problem solved, and your alcohol problem will go. It's just the fruit. Like cutting the root of a tree. Don't worry about the fruit. They won't come back if you cut at the root. At 32 years old, that man died drunk, sitting in his chair. They found him dead sitting in a chair in his mother's home. Died of alcohol. A slave. A slave. Just as much as somebody in chains. A literal slave working for somebody else. A slave of sin. Sin has made man a slave. Now I must go on. Just briefly, there are three things in the world that consist of all the sin in the world. And there are 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. Now get this, for all that is in the world, this is all of it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three things. Now the lust of the flesh is having, getting something, having something. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. There were plenty of other trees, but she saw that the tree was good for food. Having. Then it says, the lust of the eye, that's seeing. The world is all, what the world is like, they want to get all they can get because there's something inside of them that's craving for something real, something to satisfy. And they think it's out there in the world. In fact, the more I can get. Solomon put it this way, and he had far more than we could ever have. He said, all the labor of a man is for the mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. The more you get, the more you want, and the more you're not satisfied. Sin has made man a slave. Are you a slave to sin this morning? Are you bound by sin this morning? Or are you free? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Having the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, seeing, and the pride of life is being. Everybody wants to be somebody. You see boys playing, cowboys and Indians, but everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to be the Indian. They want being somebody. That's all there is in the world. And sin is all encompassed in those three things. The lust of our flesh, our selfishness, what we want, our greed, our envy, all those things, lust of the flesh. Somebody said that John D. Rockefeller, at 33 years old, was America's first known millionaire. At 33 years old, he was a billionaire. At 53 years old, he was being treated by doctors, and they'd pretty well given him up, and because they couldn't help him. And he Somebody told him about Jesus saying there's more blessed to give than to receive. So he reversed his living and he started giving and he started the Rockefeller Foundation's charitable foundations that are still going today, and he lived to be up in his 90s. And his problem was greed. He wanted more. He wanted more and more. He was like the rich man in Luke chapter 12. He was rich already, but he had a huge crop. He said, I'm going to build new barns. Something he could see. I'm going to lay up much goods for many years, the rest of the flesh. The pride of life, I'm going to be richer than I was before. Slaves to sin, greed, lust, and self-itis, if you want to use that word. So sin has made man a slave. Now let's look at something else. Sin has made Satan a master. He never was a master over Adam and Eve until they sinned. Once they sinned, he became their master. It seems when Satan fell, and a part of the angels fell with him, he then became the prince of the power of the air. We read about that in Ephesians 2. But when he entered the Garden of Eden, and he tempted Eve and Adam and got them to sin, then he became the prince of this world. And he became the god of this world. He captured man, and he became a master over the human race. And because he's the master over the human race, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they've not known. That's why the world is in such a mess. That not only because of the sinfulness of man, but they have a master over them called Satan. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this world. He goes about as a roaring lion, we read in 1 Peter 5 and 8, seeking whom he may devour. He's taking men captive. In 1 Timothy 2, he's taking men captive. In a snare. And sad to say, even Christians are caught in that snare. Satan is a terrible master, and he's ruling over the children of men today everywhere, and that's where sin is being promoted, and Satan, sin is doing the destruction, and Satan is the master. Now, not only that, but thirdly, sin has made God a worker. See, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, when God finished creation, it says, he rested. On the seventh day, he rested. It was a finished work. There are only two finished works in the New Testament. The finish of the old creation in Genesis 2 and 2. And the finished work of the new creation. And John 19 and verse 30-31. It is finished. It is complete. So sin has made God a worker. When God finished on the seventh day, it says he rested on the seventh day and he hallowed that day. It's not that God was tired. It means that his work was complete. And as a creator, it was all complete. And God took great pleasure in it, and God wanted to walk with man and talk with man and fellowship with man here on this earth. But sin entered in, and immediately God started working again. You know the first work he did? He killed an animal, and he clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of animals, made coats for their nakedness, not only their physical nakedness, but their spiritual nakedness. And there's the first picture of redemption in the Bible. God only ever made two offerings for sin. All the other offerings for sin, man made them to God. But God made two offerings. To Adam and Eve, he had an animal killed, and he clothed them, and of course, it pleased God to bruise him, Christ, when he made his soul an offering for sin, we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 10. So sin has made man a slave. Sin has made Satan the master. Sin has made God a worker. The Lord Jesus did something on the Sabbath day, and he said, "My Father worketh, and hitherto I work," in John 5 and verse 17. So God is a worker. His work now isn't creation. His work now is the new creation. His work now is the work of redemption and not creation. But God is a worker. Fourthly, sin has made hell a reality. Hell is a reality. Hell is a place. Jesus said heaven was a place. I go to prepare a place for you. And hell is a place. We read in Matthew 25 and verse 41, we read how that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But sin has made hell a reality for mankind. God never prepared hell for mankind. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But people will go there for only one reason. They'll go there because of sin. It's sin that will drive people into hell. It was prepared only for the devil and his angel. No redemption for those people. Only mankind alone was made in the image of God. And it's mankind alone that God is redeeming, provided a redeemer for. But sin has opened up hell, as it were, for mankind. God never intended for people to go there. You're born once, you could die twice. As you're born twice, you might not even die once. If the Lord should come today, I wouldn't die once. No Christian would die if the Lord comes. Death will be cheated when the rapture takes place, and it will take place. And it's much nearer today than it was when we first believed. It's getting nearer all the time. Let me ask you, are you a slave to sin? You know, one of the main reasons why people say they aren't saved, they say, "I can't live that kind of a life." What they mean, I can't quit my bad habits and my sins. So I'm not even going to try. A lot of them say there's too many hypocrites now. I don't want to be another one. You know, a man has to be pretty small to hide behind a hypocrite, doesn't he? And he's smaller than a hypocrite. But the main reason a lot of people would like to be Christians, I can't live that kind of a life. I remember a young fellow we were visiting a while ago, and the man we were talking to said that very thing, and the young fellow was with me and said, "You can't live it till you get it." And that's true. You can't live it till you get it. And once you trust Christ as your Savior, you have within you as the Spirit of God that's able to work in you and out of you, and you're no longer a slave of sin. You're free from sin, and you don't have to live any longer bound by Satan. You don't have to be under his servanthood, because of God and the work of the Lord in providing a redemption for you and for me. We can escape that awful place called hell. But to be sure, men will enter into it. People need to repent of their sins. They need to be forgiven. And there's no forgiveness in the Bible without repentance. Jesus made it clear that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name, beginning in Jerusalem. And we are witnesses of these things in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47. "Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ that's going to enable us to escape the reality of hell. And not only that, but to come out under the slavery of sin When you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, you can come out from under the slavery of sin. Satan is no longer your master. His power is broken, and you've been liberated, and you're free, and you can live apart from sinning against God and the slavery of sin. Let me ask you, where do you stand with the Lord? If you have entered the cross as a poor, helpless, lost, guilty sinner, have you really put your trust in Christ as your Savior? Not enough to go to church, as it were, or even try to live a good life. It's a matter of knowing that I'm a sinner, bound by sin. If I go on in my sinful way, down that broad and crowded road, I'm going to end up in a lost eternity. And those awful words of Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." May the Lord help each one of us to search our hearts and make sure that we come to the reality of our sinfulness before God, and truly have turned in our hearts from our sins and in our ways, and put our trust completely in the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. I'm so glad I'm free, not bound by sin. There was a time when I was, but not bound by sin. Not that I'm perfect, but sin doesn't have a mastery over my life, because the Lord Jesus is not only my Savior, but He's my Lord and my Master. May the Lord help us all to realize the awful nature of sin and what it's doing in the world today, making man a slave, making Satan a master, making God a worker, and making hell a reality. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy holy, inspired Word. We confess how little we see and understand of it. We're reminded that Thy ways are not our ways, and Thy thoughts are not our thoughts. But we're glad that as the heavens are higher than the earth, Thou hast, and Thy thoughts higher than ours, that Thou hast brought Thy thoughts down to us in Thy holy Word. And we ever pray to give us a greater sense and understanding of the nature of sin, what it is, what it's doing. And give us a greater burden, Lord, and a hatred for it, but a greater burden for those who are still bound by sin, going on that broad and crowded road to a lost eternity. Give us help, and give us a compassion and a vision and a burden for them, that we might seek them ere they go on their way to a lost eternity. So we ask Thy blessing upon each of us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.